Will you please take out your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John. We're going to look at chapter 14. We'll be reading some other verses also later on in the sermon from that same Gospel. We'll read chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples after he has told them that he will be leaving them. What comfort. And whither I go, verse 4, the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall also live. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Based on especially verses 16, 17, verse 26 on the Holy Spirit, we have in our Lord's Day 20, the teaching of the Apostles' Creed. We have said, I believe in God the Father and creation. I believe in God the Son and our salvation. And now we go on to, I believe in the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. So Lord's Day 20, question 53, what dost thou believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Answer, first, that he is true and eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he's given to me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all of his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. We talked this morning about transitions, and now in the Apostles' Creed, we also make a transition. We've been studying the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially under those words, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. So now we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. What is the connection between this section now and what we've had already? Well, it is the Holy Spirit who is made the Spirit of Christ, who unites us with Christ Jesus, who makes us partakers of Christ in all of his benefits. What comfort that was to the disciples when Jesus says, I'm leaving you. It is only a short 3 years that they have enjoyed this intimate communion with the Lord Jesus, and he is leaving them. It's hard for them to think of that, to dwell on that. But Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you another comforter. What a blessed comfort it was for those disciples when Jesus sat down with them, when he taught them, when they saw his miracles. But there's going to be another comforter. And by that comforter, it is Christ himself who will come to them by his Spirit and by his Word. So we look at, in this brief Lord's Day, it's really brief, only one question and answer, but the questions and answers later on are going to follow it about the church and about our forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of our body. It's all the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. So the work of the Holy Spirit, notice first of all, his identity. Second of all, his saving power. And then thirdly, his persistent work. For you young people, as you would try to study this answer, which is kind of long answer in itself, you can break it up in parts, can't you? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Son. That's who he is. Then the second part of this Lord's Day says, and he's given to me. Why is he given to me? He's given to me to make me a partaker of Christ Jesus. He's given to me so that he may comfort me. And he's given unto me, thirdly, in order that he may abide with me forever. So we know this Holy Spirit because God reveals him to us. And he reveals himself in his word by the various names that he has. He is the Holy Spirit. And he's called the Holy Spirit because as a spirit or breath, he proceeds from the Father and the Son, like breath proceeds from your mouth. Boys and girls, if you go outside and you breathe in that cold air and you breathe out, you can actually see that breath. Now, we cannot see the Holy Spirit, but he dwells in us because the Holy Spirit was breathed forth like a mighty wind, a rushing wind, breathed forth from the Father and the Son, given to us. And he is called the Holy Spirit because he is the one who sanctifies us. That is, he takes us who are afar off and he puts a new life in us, the life of Christ, and he draws us near to Christ. He implants us into Christ Jesus. What a spirit he is. And our prayer should be every day, dwell in me, O Holy Spirit. Dwell richly in me. As we go to God's word, our prayer should be, Holy Spirit, direct me into that word. Cause me to understand that word. Hide that word in my heart. And each day of our life, as we face trials and temptations, we should be praying, O Holy Spirit, preserve me. Preserve me from evil. Direct me in the way I should go. He is the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that the catechism instructor does is he says he is fully God. That is the person that we're dealing with. He is God, co-eternal and co-equal with the Father and the Son. Always existed. A beautiful family God that we have. That Spirit is not subordinate to the Son, is not subordinate to the Father, but his very work is to make Christ Jesus known. He is God. To Ananias, you'll remember how Peter said to him, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God." You notice how Peter, in that statement to Ananias, says the Holy Spirit is God. That is important for us to right away recognize. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we read, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So in other words, to say church, we are really saying temple of the Holy Spirit. It's saying that God dwells here in his church. The Holy Spirit dwells in her, for that Spirit is God. Now that's important, first of all, that confession comes by the Heidelberger, because there have been in history, and there are still today, who deny that the Holy Spirit is a person. Many of the saints in the Philippines that I worked with came out of a cult out of California, an Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God. That cult taught that there were really kind of two persons of the Godhead, or they didn't always talk about two persons because they said we all become God. But of the Holy Spirit, they denied that he was a person. They said he is merely a power and influence that goes forth out of the Father and the Son. And that is a false teaching. We confess right away with the Catechism that the Holy Spirit is divine, number one, and number two, that he is an individual. That is, the Holy Spirit thinks as a person. He wills as a person. He acts as a person. The Bible says he searches out the deep things of God and he knows them. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." We are able to know that. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches the apostles to speak God's word powerfully. It is the Holy Spirit as a person who prays for believers. He prays for believers with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8, verse 27. He leads his children. He leads his people as children of God, and he witnesses to their spirits. And you know what he says? He says, "You're a child of God. You are a child of God." It is the Spirit who comes to Philip and he says, "I want you to go find this Ethiopian and to bring the gospel to him." When the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Mysia, it is the Holy Spirit who came to him and said, "No." Acts 16, verse 7, "No, you may not go there." It is the Spirit who drives Christ Jesus out to the wilderness in order to be tempted by Satan. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. How beautiful is that song, "Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound." And we see that in the earthly creation. But what he does in the physical things, he also does spiritually. And so may we, when we see ourselves in God's word, may we be able to say, "Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound, spiritual life in us." It is the Holy Spirit that strives with men. "Why will you go that way? Turn around, repent." It is the Holy Spirit that sent the prophets and the servants of Jehovah out to bring the word. And it is that same Spirit that enables ministers today to speak and God's people to hear. So, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is a divine person. He is God, omnipresent. Doesn't the psalmist say in Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence?" Impossible. Because the Spirit is everywhere present, just like the Father and the Son are. He is omniscient, for he knows and he searches the deep things of God. He is eternal, even as we read in Hebrews 9, verse 14, "By the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself up to God without spot." Christ receives divine honor. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the blessing that we receive, isn't it, in the morning and the evening worship services: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is a person. But now notice especially, the Catechism is going on, what is the Blessed Trinity, a truth of the Holy Spirit, that he is true and eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, now this phrase, that he is given to me. He is given to me. How is he given to me? Well, very clearly in John 14 and 15 and 16, it is revealed that it is Christ Jesus who receives the Spirit from his Father at his ascension. That was Jesus' reward because of his faithful and obedient work on the cross, his death and resurrection. He ascends into heaven and he receives the Spirit. And it is that Spirit that he now on Pentecost poured out and continues to pour out on his church. We read in John chapter 7, verse 39, these words. Jesus is there at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at that feast, they would draw water each day out of the well and bring it to the temple. And there on the last day, Jesus cries out. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So it is Christ Jesus who gives his Spirit to his people. And that is told us in John 7, verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him," that's on Christ, "should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet." And then in italics, the word "given" is there. It's supposed to help us understand better the text. Really, it detracts away from what the text is saying. The Holy Spirit was not yet because that Jesus was not yet glorified. What is he saying there? The Holy Spirit is eternal. He always existed. He was there in creation when the world was made. He spake through the prophets. But in the Old Testament, he is not known as the Spirit of Christ. In other words, just as you can say that Jesus Christ did not exist in the Old Testament, the Son of God did, but Jesus Christ came into existence in his birth, so the Holy Spirit becomes the Spirit of Christ when Christ ascended into heaven. The Spirit was given to him so that the Spirit may make him known. And it is that Spirit that is now poured out on the church, given to you and me. Why is he given to us? Well, notice there's other titles given to him. He's called the Good Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Grace and Supplication. He's called the Spirit of Promise, the Spirit of Adoption. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Spirit of God. But now in our text especially, it says, "I will give you another Comforter." One who is there to help us. The word "comfort" that we have in English comes from two Latin words which really mean "with strength." You got that word of fortification, a fort. And the preposition "cum," with. The Holy Spirit is given to us to give us strength, to give us life. And that new life that he's planted in there, he strengthens by God's word. We're not left to ourselves. That's what the disciples were so worried about when they heard those words, "I'm leaving you. I have to suffer. I have to die. I'm going to give you another comforter. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever." That's the last part of the catechism's text. Now, another name is given to him. Even the Spirit of Truth. That is how the Spirit is going to strengthen God's people. With the word of truth. That spirit who knows God is able to interpret and tell us the mind of God. He is also the one that through the ages is going to lead the church in an increasingly understanding of God's word. That's what's so important about being an apostolic church, isn't it? We are a church that is founded on the foundation of the apostles, those eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. But throughout the history of the church, we're not left to ourselves for each one to try to figure out, now what is this passage saying? What is this passage saying? Through controversies in the church, through the ages, the Holy Spirit is guiding the church in an understanding of God's word. And over against false teachings, confessions are set forth. So that as a church, we are richly, richly blessed today. The Spirit of truth has been leading the church in the truth to confess that truth, to hand down that truth to her children. So he is the comforter. He is the Spirit of truth. And he is given to us. Poured out like water on a thirsty land, it soaks it up. Oh, that we may soak up that Spirit that Christ and the Father breathe forth, given to us. Now, why is he given to us? What's the purpose? He's given to us, we read first of all, to make me, by a true faith, a partaker of Christ and all his benefits. A partaker. How that is pictured in the Lord's Supper, isn't it? When we eat the bread and we drink that little bit wine, those things as substances go into our body to strengthen and to nourish us. And the point then of the Lord's Supper, and that's why we continue to do the Lord's Supper over and over, 4 times a year, is to remind us daily, daily we need to feed on Jesus Christ. And how do we feed on Jesus Christ? The Spirit is given to us to make us a partaker of Christ himself. How does he do that? First of all, he plants a new heart in us. And then he engrafts us into Christ Jesus. Can you see that picture, boys and girls? The farmer taking these branches from one kind of tree, and he cuts a slit in and he puts in that graft. He tapes it on up, and those branches are going to take life out of that tree where they're grafted into. The Holy Spirit is given to me that I might partake of Christ, draw my life from Christ, his life flowing in us. But not only Christ, but he makes the Holy Spirit, causes us to partake of Christ, and then all that Christ Jesus has done for us. We partake of his suffering and death. He died for my sins, and I partake of that death. My sins have been taken away from me. They're gone. Christ arose again, and I partake of that new life in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has forgiven all my sins, and by the Holy Spirit, through the Word, I partake of that blessed truth. Doesn't that make all the difference for you and for me at the end of a day? When we slipped into that same sin that we vowed we would not walk in again. When we had maybe some harsh words with a loved one. Whatever sins they are, isn't it the very comfort at the night that we are able to confess those sins to our Savior in heaven, and we are given complete forgiveness for them all. I don't have to carry those sins the next day, not a year later, not 10 years later. What a comfort for us, as one of the songs talks about our sins of our youth, huh? There are some pretty stupid, foolish, sinful things I did when I was young. But I don't have to carry them along on my back with a big backpack. Those sins are forgiven. They're removed from me, not to be held against me again. And by the Holy Spirit given to me, I partake of the hope of the child of God. And what is that hope? That Jesus is coming again. Oh, he's coming many times, doesn't he? Jesus comes every time God's word is opened, doesn't he? Jesus comes to us when we become older or with an accident we die, and Jesus comes with his angels to take us up to heaven. But especially there is that hope for the end day. That day when the trumpet is going to sound and Jesus descends from heaven and we are caught up with the Lord Jesus in the sky. We go through the judgment and he finds no fault with us at all, and then he takes us into the new heavens and the new earth. You and I are partakers of that glorious hope by the Holy Spirit. And now, how is it that we are made partakers of Christ and all of his benefits? And the Catechism beautifully says, to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and his benefits by faith. Not my work, I don't earn it, but rather by faith as gift given to me by God. A faith that is strengthened by God's word. That faith looks to the object of that faith, our great God, who works completely our salvation. Yes, the Holy Spirit works through means. He doesn't just whisper little things in my mind. But how does the Holy Spirit work in you and me? And we call them the tools or the instruments of faith. He does it by his word. That's why you and I need to be in God's word daily for our own lives. That's why, family members, you gather around the table and you have devotions together. That is why we come Sunday morning and we come Sunday evening. That's why our children go to catechism. That's why we have Christian schools. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to work and to strengthen faith in us. And then along with that word, of course, there is the sacraments, whether it be baptism or whether it be the Lord's Supper. We see with our eyes the very things that we hear with our ears in the gospel. That we are made a new creature. And that's why it's only once in our life we are baptized into Christ Jesus. And we are nourished daily by Christ Jesus, and that's why the Lord's Supper is done over and over. The Holy Spirit works this faith and strengthens this faith in you and me and each child of God. That is something that the wicked do not have at all. The Spirit is not given to them, but Christ pours out his Spirit to his church, to those whom he knows and loves, those whom God has chosen, those whom he has redeemed. And so while the preacher can read the scriptures, he can explain the scriptures, he can work to apply the scriptures, there's not going to be any growth except the Holy Spirit take that word that is read and preached and applies it to your and my hearts. Oh, we obtain all these blessings. John 14, verse 6, that ye may abide forever. How wonderful. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you and I can come to the Father. That's how you and I are saved. The Spirit drives us, draws us to Christ Jesus, our Savior. He causes us to know that we are children of God and that Christ is our life. How wonderful is the experience of the child of God then? Hearing God's word, the Spirit applying that word, we grow. We grow as God's children, just like a tiny little tree grows well in good soil. You and I planted in God's word by the Holy Spirit. We draw our nourishment from that word. We're drawn closer to Christ Jesus. And you and I are able then to say, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ. It's Christ who lives in me. So, who is the Spirit? What do you believe? First of all, He's true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Second, He's given to me. So what? That by faith I may partake of Christ and all His benefits. And now the catechism goes on. And there's another benefit. Oh, that persistent work of the Holy Spirit. He may comfort me and abide with me forever. John 14, verse 16 makes clear that Christ sent the Spirit to abide with us forever. Listen to that. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. Boys and girls, perhaps at times you think, it sure be nice to have lived when Jesus was on earth. You could have seen Him with your eyes. You could have asked your questions of Him, like the disciples would ask Him questions. Lord, what does this mean? But Jesus, in His human body, could only be one place at one time, couldn't He? That means when He was in Jerusalem, He was not up there in Galilee. When He was up in Galilee, He wasn't there with His friends in Bethany, Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Jesus Christ is with us every day, every moment. In His divine nature, by His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, He dwells in us. And that word comfort, He gives strength to us. So some of you kids, you got exams this week. If you have studied hard during the year, and you study hard for your exams, you go into that exam, you're not all by yourself. The Spirit of Christ is in you. May He bless then faithful labors. Now, of course, if you haven't been doing your studying all year long, well, then you're not going to do so well, are you? But you're not alone. Young men, young ladies who are dating, you're not all alone there in that car, are you? But the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and it is that Spirit of Christ who will warn you when you're becoming too close. and you are tempted to do more than you ought to do, the Spirit says no. He causes you to remember some of these texts of the Bible. Be holy even as I'm holy. How comforting it is for some of our saints during that period of COVID. When they were in nursing homes or they were in the hospitals and no children, no family could at all see them. They weren't alone. They weren't alone. But the Spirit of Christ was in them. And by that Spirit, they could remember some of these texts of the Bible or read it to themselves and be comforted or sing the songs of Zion. He comforts us. He leads us. He guides us. How you and I need that. Because this morning we heard we're sheep, aren't we? And I said, sheep aren't so smart, are they? Sheep have to be led. And the Holy Spirit takes us as lambs and as sheep and leads us in the green pastures of God's Word. He teaches us how to conduct ourselves, how to live in gratitude for our great salvation. He has given to us that he may comfort me. How personal that is, huh? Put your name in there. Put your name in there. He has given to me, Audred, to make Audred, by a true faith, a partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort Audred, that he may abide with Audred forever. Now, I put my name in there. You put your names in there. That's how personal this catechism instructor is. What do I believe about the Holy Spirit? Not merely that he is one of the three persons of the Godhead, but that he was given to me to comfort and to abide with me forever. And it's because he abides in us forever that we continue to abide in Christ Jesus forever. Not one of God's chosen ones redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ is lost. Oh, they might fall into serious sins for a while. They might be backsliding. But God will bring them back to himself, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. His Spirit abides with us forever because it is Christ, by his Spirit preserving us, we are able to persevere. Remember, that's what the fifth head of doctrine of the Canons of Dort is all about. You can call it either the preservation of the saints or the perseverance of the saints. What is the connection? It's because God, by his Spirit, is preserving us, always in us, that we are able then to persevere, to continue in our life, to serve and live for Christ Jesus. How I need that. How you need that. Because in me is that old man of sin that wants to think, wants to look, wants to do what the world wants to do. I need that Spirit to abide in me to say, no, no, stop. That's not the way. Abide in me forever. What does that mean for you and me? Christ poured out his Spirit on the church so that we may know him, that he may abide in us. I would think it would mean, first of all, beloved, that you and I are zealously praying for that Spirit. You say, well, why would I pray for the Spirit? He is with me. He dwells in me. Yes, but he can dwell in us in increasing measure, can't he? At times in our life, we are high in our lives, in our devotions, in our love for God, but there's also the valleys. We need to pray that that Spirit grips us, holds us in all of those mood swings close to our Lord Jesus. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask. Ask the Lord to pour out his Spirit in increasing measure in your life so that you're able to run the race set before you, that you're able to fight the good fight of faith, that you will be kept in his loving, tender care. Pray. That Spirit that the Father and the Son breathe forth, poured out in the church in Pentecost, may dwell mightily, not only in each of us individually, but also here collectively as God's church and in our denomination, and in the worldwide church, the universal church of Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the many names that we may, by all those names, have a small idea of how great thy Spirit is. We are thankful that he is the Spirit who makes Christ known. He is the Spirit who draws us to Christ Jesus and plants us in Christ Jesus and causes us to enjoy the benefits of Christ Jesus. And so we pray, O Lord, take not thy Spirit from me, but may he dwell mightily in me, in the church of Jesus Christ, and my fellow saints, to those who need him, languishing on their beds, to those who are walking waywardly, oh, pour out thy Spirit and draw them back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.